You can be a hero by going to thedadpodcast.com, clicking on one of the links on the right-hand side for just $24 a year, $2 a month, 50 cents an episode. You could change our lives. Or if you're like, I don't want to do that, tell one person, two, hell, three people about the show. Thanks and enjoy.
Listen to me, listen to my words as they vanish. Let's go chase the sun and get crazy, have some fun. And if you're on the run, we're chasing the sun.
Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. We are here. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. With me, as always, is the one, the only, Paco Lancini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley. How are you this fine evening, Mr. Paco?
I'm fine.
Are you awake now? Is that or is that a reference to somebody who is incomparable that I don't know?
No, it was just goosing myself.
You know, you could do that before you cross the street.
That's
I'm just saying.
Sorry.
I'm not being judgmental. I'm just saying that if you need a quick pinch in the ass, maybe you just maybe have the wife do it. Maybe give Luna you a little,
you know what there I mean? You go.
Before you walk out the door. Here's the thing. You commented already about it on the Facebook page at facebook.com/dadpodcast, shameless plug.
Yes.
I am on my third show today, but I'm feeling good.
That's awesome.
I can't complain. We started this morning at about 9:30, 10 a.m.-ish Pacific time, doing a little truth or drink with my parents.
Yes.
If you're not listening to this live, then you would have already seen that come out on Saturday before this episode comes out. And then shortly after that, a mere hour after that, I was doing Justin is Married, Booker is Single. my dad also was a guest on that one. I had a good time. I got made fun of a lot. Evidently, all I need is to have two extra people in here.
Yeah.
You know, whoever the second chair is, once I get a third chair involved, there is always some kind of ganging up that begins shortly after. And then now here we are at home, what feels like home, where I belong. Oh, hold on. That's Dad. My dad is calling me.
That's funny. He heard you were recording without him.
Yeah, he's like, hold on a second. Are you doing a show? I don't think you understand.
Oh,
I birthed you.
Man.
Just a teaser for people listening live or anybody who has just found the show on this episode. Yeah. I did not think it could happen, but truth or drink, I got embarrassed again with my folks. So that's a little, that's what we call in the biz, a teaser. Or you know what I mean? Just to titillate you.
Basically teasing the eight people who are listening.
Exactly.
Okay,
just so I just want to make sure.
If you include me.
Listen, then there's thousands that tune in after the fact.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Could go back and find
They may not. They might look at it and go, I don't know. It was pretty boring with the wife. How better could it be with the parents? Let's just say, here's what I found interesting. My mom on fire that episode.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. So funny. Anyway,
That's great.
We get into anything, we've got Mother's Day fun stuff. And
well, hang on. I just wanted to say, I want to jump on the fact that you're saying the third one today.
Yeah.
But if you step back a little further, it's your fourth one in 24 hours.
How do you mean? Oh,
because
we did
one last. You were on the mic last night with
your dad.
I don't know if that's a proper show or if it'll ever turn up somewhere.
We'll see. I want to listen to it. But my dad told me, and I did not know this, when he found out about me getting the producer's part-time producer job at KFI, he was like, that's pretty cool.
He goes, he's finally proud of you.
Exactly. Finally. It is
one
of
internship, and he
one of four times, I think, in my life that he has said that he was proud of me or whatever. But he said, he goes, I've always wanted to do radio. And he goes, it's interesting because through no controlling from him, no pushing, no nothing.
Right.
That I've kind of stumbled upon this and am making a go at it. And he says, you know, that's why, hence why he was so interested in building of the studio, building of the volume knobs. He's an electronic nerd, electronics nerd from way back in the day.
Yeah.
He was known at 5 years old. My grandfather had a record player that broke.
Uh-huh.
So he took it all apart just to figure out how it would work and then would use like the motor and stuff for other things to build other things.
Like he never fixed it.
No, he didn't fix it because it was, I think, unfixable, but he did tear it apart, use other stuff. The other thing he did...
Wait a minute. How old was he?
Five.
At five, he determined it was unfixable? I submit that it became unfixable when a five-year-old dismantled it.
I submit you will not besmirch the good name of my father and his ability to build this fair studio for you to exist with an alter ego in. But you could be true. You could be right. I don't know. And the other thing, I did not know this until this trip, as he got a little bit older, he made his own remote control. Before remote controls were even a
thing. That's awesome.
My father hardwired a remote control.
He named it Justin. I thought you were his.
No,
the remote control made.
He wired. He ran it under the house from behind the television, and then he spliced spliced into the controls on the back panel of the old CRT TV, and then made a little box that he put little switches on and dimmers and stuff that he would use for volume knobs.
Wow!
And put it next to the chair so you could not. You wouldn't have to get up. In order to do that. This is before remotes were a thing.
I just flashed on the first time you ever got in my car, and you saw my rat's nest of wires that were attached to my iPhone to charge it and to play things back. And you're like, you know, you can drill a hole and you can run that thing. And I know exactly where that came from.
Yes.
My response was, well, you can do it, but I'm not going
to. Well, you'll notice the cables that hang back from the mixer were tied up and Velcroed before my father's return, because the last time he was here, he goes, you know, you need to clean this up. It looks like garbage.
Right, right.
All right, let's do some feedback, whatever you want to call it.
You've got mail.
What's this? A letter for me.
Keep those cards and letters coming.
One could only assume that CJ was next to a computer as she was writing all of these fantastic emails. I want to make sure I get them in the right order, because I believe they all came within, yes, minutes of each other. So she was writing. I'm not mad about this, but I just think it was great. She goes, that freaking birthday invite, or perhaps this birthday how-to card. I spent $100+ on some very good friends' first baby shower. After I bought the gifts, I saw the official invite, which requested we would like wooden toys and books in lieu of plastic toys. I returned every single item and gave them a $10 gift card. Since Natalie wants to know how people respond to such an invite, and if anyone else needs to know, pull out your smartphone or camcorder and video yourself holding the invite over a lit candle, record until completely burnt to ashes, fade to black, then fade into a sign that says, Mother knows best, get it your effing self. And then she was also a fan of, I believe this is Jeff who in the chat room, who came up with Uptight Titties Don't Work. And so she sent that saying, hashtag UTTDW, and she likes to include graphics where you could see it here. She has a bumper sticker that says, I love Drew.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it was Butcher Drew, or maybe she's also in love. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Let's see. I'll be visiting. Oh, we were talking about everybody getting together in Tennessee. Now, let me just break this down. First email sent at 6:33 a.m. I don't know what time zone. I'm guessing she's East Coast. Second email sent at 6:36 a.m. Third email, 6:56 a.m. This is at 7:02 a.m. It says, I'll be visiting Tennessee for an entire week in June. A whole week of that accent. I'll be wearing noise-canceling earbuds so that I don't return home pregnant. Drew. Butcher Drew getting the ladies downstairs moist with his all right, all right, all right. Listen, the first time Natalie called me Drew in bed since she heard him, I was taken aback.
Yes.
And you know what? I decided to embrace it.
Sure.
And I just started throwing out random mom's names that listen to the show that I would like to violate.
Yeah.
And she didn't know any of the names, so she just thought I was also saying random names. Yes. No, that never happened. you have to explain that, Justin, you jackass. I forgot to mention that the video then needs to be pasted on the birthday mom's Facebook, you know, for the burning of the things with the stuff. What else do we have here? I've got some that...
She might want to switch to decaf.
I know, right? Well, you can clearly tell she's got a large data plan on her cell phone, at least.
Right, right.
In regards to our last episode of Prom Night Hijinks, I mean, it's not really the last one. It's the last regular one, I guess one could say. But it says, Drew, our Butcher Drew says, Benny Hill killed me every time. Howard said, when Natalie started role-playing as the birthday letter writer, I felt my testes recede into my body. Robert said, the bit about whooped cream at the end made me think of the fun nicknames my kids have provided in our house, from my son calling his sister a big grill to our iPads are now labeled eye patches because my daughter. Ashley says, Tennessee may have many horses being walked, but Portland has goats, pigs, and cats being walked, LOL. And then Michael says, this podcast rocked. I was LOL at my daughter's soccer practice. I was getting some weird looks. And then we will transition from that right into some I want to save this. Well, I'm going to say it just so I can get rid of it. But Ashton sent in. We were talking about this a little bit on Justin is Married, Booker is Single. I found out that almost 42%, I believe is the number. I know it was in the 40s, of people on Tinder. Are you familiar with the dating app Tinder?
I am.
They 42% of the people have claimed that they are not single. Now, I later found out in the study, we didn't get into it on that episode, that chances are that people had found someone and just hadn't deleted the app from their phone.
Okay.
So their profile still existed, even though they were not single. And here's an interesting thing that we're going to talk about here very shortly. In fact, we'll just go into it. That Ashley Madison, are you familiar with that website? The Cheaters website.
Yes, I am.
Where you
can
go to find an affair.
I find it mildly distasteful, but yes.
What? You're not on board with the cheating?
I don't think so.
Why?
It's not for me.
Not for you?
No, I don't think so.
Well, listen, Luna and I have been chatting back and forth via that. And it's
swinging is something else.
Swinging. Listen, what's the difference between cheating and swinging? Because you already know the person going into it?
I'm much more likely to be able to sleep with your wife, with your permission, frankly. Otherwise, it's off. I know that site too. It just always seemed a little creepy to me.
Well, here's what
a genius money making idea for this guy. God bless him.
Oh yeah,
you know, a millionaire many times over. But
well, what I thought was interesting is that I don't know if you've already heard this, but that Ashley Madison experiences a 400% spike in female membership the day after Mother's Day.
Oh.
Wow. So I say this, you gentlemen are receiving this episode on noon of
maybe
Mother's Day.
In time. You have a few hours
Listen,
left.
I'm not here to save your marriage. I'm not here. and just in the nick of time, ladies are hearing about this information that you are not alone. But this is what Ashton sent in. She said, I think this is pretty accurate. I'd take one or a combo of any of these. And it's a pie chart. I'll post it at facebook.com/dadpodcast. It's a photo of a pie chart. And it says what moms really want for Mother's Day. Let's start at the bottom percentage here. 8% want a glass. And they drew a line through glass because this is a humorous cartoon.
Yes.
A bottle of wine. 10% said sex and or foot massage. 10% said a clean house. 11% said several hours alone binge watching Netflix. 12% said delicious food prepared by someone else. 20%, yes, the chat room of moms is screaming, sleep! Yes, that's 20% crave sleep. 28% the day off from parenting, which is always my thing about Mother's Day and Father's Day, is that I find it very interesting that is the thing that nobody, that is the one thing you were celebrated for, is the thing you don't want to do on your day.
Yes, yes.
Very interesting to me. Natalie took the day after Mother's Day off, perhaps to meet her Ashley Madison beau.
Yes, she's going to have a lot of emails to respond to.
I'm going to do these
profiles to sort through.
All out of whack here. Let's see. So while we're on the topic of Mother's Day, this comes to us from the New York Post. This is an article that was written by a woman. She says, my husband forgot Mother's Day flowers, so I had sex with someone else. Now, I don't like to read entire articles, but I find this very, very interesting.
Yes.
The adulterer's website, Ashley Madison, is expecting a massive 500%. Now, here's the thing. Most of the articles I found said closer to like 400. It was in the lower 400, so I think they're a little bit like pushing it.
Yeah.
A 500% spike in signups from women on the day after Mother's Day. According to its data, there was a 442% increase in signups compared to the daily norm after last year's holiday, following an upward trend since 2010. So what drives a woman to commit adultery after spending time with her family on Mother's Day? And a 42-year-old finance worker from Bergen County, New Jersey, who asked the Post not to use her last name, tells Jane Ridley her cheating story. Opening the Mother's Day card last year from my husband, Derek, which is a fake name, my heart sank. We'd been married for more than 15 years, and I was the mom of his two young children, but he hadn't even thought to buy me flowers, let alone jewelry. The whole run-up to Mother's Day had been depressing. It made me feel old, like I was losing my sexiness. I suggest that maybe Derek should have washed her shower. I'm just just saying. It's
yeah,
a marriage saver.
Yeah, yeah.
My marriage was stuck in a rut. We'd gotten hitched when I was in my mid-20s. Things, well, no, this is now it's my story. things were great at first, but they started to fall apart almost as soon as our kids arrived. Derek is only 48, but he might as well be in his 70s. He's always tired and unmotivated. We have sex about once a week, though it's hardly passionate. I never orgasm and just go through the motions. So the day after Mother's Day, I set up a profile on the cheater's website, Ashley Madison. I'd had a bit to drink and was feeling flirtatious, so I wrote how I was a voluptuous brunette looking to have an affair. Within minutes, I had responses from several guys, including a man called Tom with 3 children. He was 42, worked in the medical field, and his marriage was even more dysfunctional than mine. He wasn't having sex with his wife at all. I met him less than a week later for lunch at a restaurant about 40 minutes away from each of our homes. We ended up having a lot of fun, drinking wine, and getting to know each other. We had sex 3 weeks later at a Best Western off Route 80. It sounds seedy, but it wasn't. The sex wasn't the best thing since sliced bread, just very intimate and passionate. I still wasn't able to orgasm. In fact, I never have, but it got better as time went on. Even though it was a big deal for me to cheat on Derek, I didn't feel guilty. I finally felt alive and sexy again. I didn't tell a soul, except for the New York Post.
Yeah, right.
Not even my best friend. It felt good having this big secret all to myself. After that, Tom and I met for sex about once a month for 6 months. But then he started to flake out on me, canceling our meetings and making excuses. By then, I'd fallen in love with him. I never told him because I knew deep down that he wanted to keep things casual and not leave his wife and family. To be honest, neither did I. Eventually, we stopped seeing each other. After that, I met and slept with 2 other men through Ashley Madison, and I'm currently chatting online with a few guys. Derek and I still have sex about once a week, and I'm afraid to say the sex hasn't improved. But now that I've had my affairs, it doesn't bother me as much. If there is one thing I've learned from the experience, it's that mothers need to pamper themselves and have fun elsewhere if they don't feel appreciated at home.
And by elsewhere, she means... Never mind.
At the Best Western off of Route 80.
Or between her own legs.
Yeah.
Gosh, so many things popped into my head during that. One was that I would imagine that even though she never told him she was falling in love with him, he figured it out.
That's why he got
started flaking, a little
distant.
Either that or he already had 2 or 3 other hot items that he was pursuing through Action Madison. There's no reason for you to, once you're... In the muck, why limit yourself? Yeah.
You know, it's interesting about this whole thing. I wish I could say that this is completely a conversation that I'm unaware is being broadcast, but and so it sounds like I'm lying, but I really don't know. I don't know that I could pull this off, and it's not. I don't even think it has to. I don't know. Maybe it's because at first I was going to say even if I was unhappily married, but that's easy to say rather than live. You know what I mean?
Like
if you were truly, truly miserable, I'm really starting to worry that Natalie has the day off after Mother's Day.
You should be.
I'm going to have to start perusing her computer and do some kind of spyware situation. Yeah. I'm going to be that chick.
That'll fix things. That'll be healthy.
That'll be the ticket. So I bring this up because, A, I thought it was interesting. I'm sorry. I just glanced at the chat room, and I don't know what they're talking about, but Jeff just said, if sex is a pain in the ass, you're doing it wrong. So I'm just saying, fellas, maybe you take some time to pamper your lady on this fine Mother's Day and do a little something extra. I don't know if she's listening. Do you have plans for the fair Luna?
I told her not to listen.
That's good. That's a good point.
I said straight out, there's going to be probably Mother's Day talk. There's probably going to be anniversary talk. You know, my anniversary falls on Mother's Day, conveniently enough. So
this year or every year?
This year.
I was going to say that didn't work.
No. It's spread out occasionally. But
man, May's a good month for you. You got a B-Day. You got an anniversary and Mother's Day.
Yes, it actually. I hate it.
I bet.
If I had it to do all over again, I would never have married her. No, I would have just. I would have just...
Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah, there you go. I told you I told her not to listen. No, our original date that we had booked, and then they came back to us later and went, you know what, it was double booked and you can't have it now.
Yeah.
And it was a later in the summer type thing, so we took what we could get at that point. And I hadn't done the math then.
Why not move your anniversary? You know what I mean? The only people that date matters to is the two of you, and if you don't like the date, then... Fucking move it. Who cares? Am I crazy or is she like the date?
No, here's the thing. I think you've got it backwards.
Oh.
In that, my wedding day and date mm-hmm. is terribly important to me. I'm a super romantic fellow.
It
means
see.
A great deal to me. Whereas Mother's Day was manufactured by greeting card companies or some ancient old woman somewhere sometime. And then no, it was sort of pushed by industry.
Yeah.
On two different fronts. And one of which was a greeting card company. And in any case, no, I would rather.
So you would rather celebrate your anniversary and not Mother's Day.
Yeah. And as far as the kids are concerned, I'm sure they can give a fuck about Mother's Day at this point.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, pretty much.
How dare they? I want to do a Scared Straight so bad. Oh, my God. We need a safe word besides Helvetica. Some kind of word that you can text me so that I can know that in the dark of night.
A go word.
I'm going to come up with a cravat or I don't know. What is that thing that looks like a terrorist mask? And I'm going to come into their bedroom and grab them and just start screaming at them. And go, love your mother and father, you little fucker! You know what I mean?
Yes.
And then escape. You know what I mean?
I love the idea that it's a cravat, which is that sort of tie that's
I want to be intimidated.
It's not on your face, it's just on your neck.
Yeah, but the fact that you have to have balls to pull off a puffy tie. Anybody can wear a fucking ski mask.
Right.
When you fucking go, you know, Fred from Scooby-Doo on their ass.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, then it's, I thought that was an ascot, too, by the way.
Now
we're
going
to have to use the internet.
So as far as Mother's Day is concerned, Luna had her name picked out of a hat. And she won a bunch of gift certificates to one of our favorite, Granville. So she's, we're going to go, they don't take reservations. So we're just going to go in there at 9 a.m. and stand in line and hope.
Yeah, because Mother's Day is the busiest.
They don't take ever.
Yeah.
It's a non-reservation.
But I mean, but Mother's Day is going to be the busiest day ever. Like, yeah. I think it's Mother's Day and Valentine's Day.
I'm sure.
The two, when I was working in the restaurant world, is that those were the 2 days that
the huge ones.
Nobody wanted to work or really, really wanted to work
to
make some
money.
Come
to think of it, I wonder if they have a blackout date on those gift certificates. We should look at it. Yeah, well, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If ever you wanted to not be paying for the meal with your own money, that's the day
where you waited 2 hours to get a table.
Yeah. Right.
Although I do kind of like the move where it's like you take around for Mother's Day and go, what, no gift card? That's it. We got to find someplace else, honey. We got Sizzler. You want to go Sizzler?
Right. Yeah, there's a twofer we can get off the, it's a Groupon. Never mind.
I got it from our AARP pickup.
Fuck you. No, hang on a second. Hold on a second. I'm going to have to derail everything for a minute here. All right. A couple days ago, I'm just having a hard time with all the stuff that's going on in the house.
You're right. You need a hug?
Yeah. Well,
Do we need to listen to Kesha some more?
Yes. I was just in a really bad way. I think it might have been Sunday or something. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Saturday. Very dark. You know, Chad is troubling and Diego's having his own things. And then I'm staring down the barrel of my 50th birthday, which is a week from now, give or take. And it all just sort of caught up with me. And I was in a very fragile teary kind of situation that lasted most of the day. And at one point I'm struggling to get past it. I'm like, okay, fine, whatever it is, it just keep moving and everything will shake off and it'll be fine. So just sort of starting to see the sunlight through the clouds. And Luna's like, hey, you got some mail. And she goes, open that up. And I opened it up. She said, I think it's a credit card. I'm like, well, I didn't apply for a credit card. Open it up. It's AARP. My AARP card arrived on the day that I was so depressed.
And then you immediately started running around the room. And you came in a white beater and some boxers and up high knee socks in one move. And then you're just stepping on a chihuahua like crazy, just that for no reason, inexplicably. It's just it's all out pandemonium. You mime hump one of the dogs like, isn't this hilarious? And everybody's just looking at you because they don't hear the music or understand why you're running in fast motion.
That's funny. That's very funny. So anyway, that was I derailed that. But we're doing just a breakfast with her in the like a brunchy whatever thing in the morning, forcing the kids to come.
I can't wait to have teenagers.
I know.
It's like that thing where you kind of say sorry. Like,
yeah, no, it's exactly like that.
It's like, love your mother.
Yeah, right.
Appreciate her on her day.
Oh, my God.
Worlds are so different right now because my kids have made projects, you know what I mean? Which, here's the thing. This is what's wrong.
I've got a drawer full of those, you know.
What's wrong with my wiring is that they come home and here's the thing. The lucky thing is that my wife not so much into the gifts, although this whole Ashley Madison article has made me seriously consider going to Tiffany's tomorrow. But
yeah, right.
Even if I don't have the dough, I'm like, I got to save this marriage. But the But it's funny to me because I wish I wasn't wired this way, but is that, you know, you get these projects home and these kids are like, look at what I did. This is for you. And I'm like, yeah, but that's really just an excuse for a teacher not to have to do something for 20 minutes plus out of a day. Like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to build projects for mom for Mother's Day. You know what I mean?
Sometimes if they did 20 minutes a day for a week, then they're building up and building
up. Well, one of them is like a fucking yearbook. Like, Jack's got a yearbook from his preschool and he made like a little bracelet. It's very cute and adorable, but that's what I mean. Yeah. It's like today my world was you have to now transport the gifts and then you have to remind the toddlers that gifts are meant to be a surprise, but they're so excited.
Right.
Like Jack at dinner tonight said, Mom, I got you a bracelet. Like,
that's great.
Or I made you a bracelet.
That's funny.
And then Jacob, now he's older, but he's at least understands the surprise. But he's like, I want to give it to her today. I go, well, you got to wait. And then he goes, but now he gets it. So he's like, Mom, I got you something for Mother's Day, but I'm not going to tell you. And so you just, to compare that between like, I don't want to go to brunch. I have things. It's my Sunday too.
Well, here's what you need to do. You need to run over to Tiffany's and get a bracelet and put it in Jack's box.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
And I don't know where he got this.
Yeah. Of course, he'll be in tears because that's not the one he made for her, which is more precious than anything, you know.
Oh, my gosh. That is so our tradition for Mother's Day. I'm so thankful that I married a white trash princess. I'm so thankful on so many levels. Like our neighbor, our other neighbor, I was leaving while the kids were gone out of town and we're going to California Pizza Kitchen.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you going out for a date night? We're like, yeah, kids are gone. He's like, where are you going? Now, this is a man, this is a middle-aged man who's single, okay?
Yeah.
And Natalie goes, we're going to California Pizza Kitchen, with an elated look on her face.
Yeah.
He immediately shoots me a look and he's like, really? Like that's all you got? And I go, yeah, really? What's your deal? And he was like, you cheap bastard.
Well, I'm glad somebody finally said it.
And I was like, he goes, you got to take her someplace nice for a date. I mean, come on. And I was like, what do you mean, come on? I go, shut it. I go, listen, I'm lucky. I got a white trash princess. Don't try and fuck up my parade, okay?
You know what? She doesn't need Ashley Madison. She's just going to walk across that
door. Yeah, right across to the other neighbor. Yeah. Well, it's cute. I like it. He's a great guy, but he'll send me like texts. Like, what? He doesn't, he means well, but it's funny when people, I get this a lot with Natalie's in my relationship. There's lots of people looking at it from the outside that are very delusioned to what's going on. And so he said one time she came home and usually I will make her lunch or I cook most of the meals. But this one day I was working in the yard. So she was putting something together for lunch and he had a question for her. So he's standing there. And what he sees on this one day is me standing in the kitchen while my wife, who is in a pantsuit from her job for her 45 minute lunch break, is whipping up lunch. And I'm talking to him and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So he leaves and he goes, you know, maybe one day you should, I don't know, just go surprise Natalie for lunch and, you know, take her lunch or take her out to lunch. And I'm like, yeah, I do that.
I love that he's giving you tips.
Yes, the single guy is giving the tips.
Not just single. I'm not sure he's not a virgin. I mean, he's in his 50s.
No, he is. I guarantee you. Trust me. Listen, I live next door to the guy. Whatever you think. Just like whatever he thinks is going on inside my house. I've had many a Wilson home improvement-esque conversation that definitely is more not suitable for network television.
I was going to say.
Yeah. Trust me, that man is doing just fine.
All right,
recently, but my favorite one is recently he says, you know, I used to get a room at a local hotel. He gave me the name or something like that.
And then cry himself to sleep.
And then cry himself to sleep eating ice cream. No, he would say, he said, and then I would tell my girlfriend at the time to dress like a cheap hooker. And then I would meet her in the bar and pick up on her or whatever. Right. He goes, just saying, like there's another little nugget. Now, don't get me wrong. If I came to my wife and said, I would like you to dress like a cheap hooker and I would come and pick you up. Because when I read her the text message, she goes, I would totally do that. That sounds fun.
That's funny.
And so it's totally
for his ex-girlfriend, in all fairness, that was a step up for her.
Yeah. That would have been a promotion.
Was a promotion.
She had to go shopping to get that wardrobe.
Right. Because she dressed like a crack whore.
He's so mean. He does not deserve that. It's very funny, though.
Thank you. Anyway, so the last thing, which isn't strictly Mother's Day related, is that I am taking Luna to a Malibu restaurant to dine and watch the sunset.
Oh, that's right. You talked about this last episode. Yeah. That's the big. That's the one that there no gift card applies.
Exactly.
Yeah, no worries there.
It doesn't seem like the food is going to be that expensive.
In Malibu?
Well, you know, Burger King is pretty much the same price wherever you go.
That's true.
Wherever
That's
you true. Go. No, no.
It's probably good. You should get reservations, though, for Mother's Day. They're very, I don't know if you heard me earlier. Yeah, every restaurant, no, they very busy them. On Mother's Day.
No, I have them, had them for several days. And in fact, I have brunch reservations at the backup restaurant in case the first one doesn't work out.
Wow, look at you. You are a Mr. Romantic, Mr. Yeah. Prepared. Well, here's another thing. As much as I may have shit on your Mother's Day, I would imagine that most of the guys listening to this show, this applies to them. This comes to us from Psychology Today, and it is it says, good in bed, funny men give more orgasms. Have you heard of this?
I've lived it.
It says, a sense of humor was also a good predictor of sexual pleasure. Women with partners who had a great sense of humor enjoyed more orgasms and stronger ones as well. Women also reported that funny partners were more popular, more intelligent, more creative, and had better leadership skills than men who did not have a great sense of humor. Women also initiated more sex with men who have a great sense of humor and had more sex with them in general, for a good reason, apparently. They also felt safer and more committed to their partner. In conclusion, a partner with a great sense of humor has many advantages for women, including a better sex life and more sexual enjoyment. It is important to note that the relationships found in this study, while only correlational, are consistent with what we know about the allure of humor. The study reinforces the importance of humor in relationships, and it will be interesting to examine whether this relationship is also true for men who have sex with funny women. My prediction would be that it would not exist or would be much weaker. And so that is the question I put out on the table for you and I, is that I think, and I don't know if it's because I like senses of humor, but I think a funny chick is way hotter. Like, I would much rather, here's the thing, I was borderline crestfallen to find out that one Kate McKinnon of Saturday Night Live is a fan of the fish taco.
I'm glad you classed it up there at the end.
Well, you know what I mean?
I was worried.
You see what I mean? Yeah. Listen, I'm a guy who gets laid and gives great orgasms. There you know what I mean? I take you on a journey and then I zag.
Right. I know what you mean. I wasn't. She scares me a little bit, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, but if you give me, you get me in a room with like a Charlotte McKinney or a Kate Upton.
Yeah.
I will stand and deliver like Edward James Olmos without the pockmarks, but I would. I would not be as interested. I would if it was Kate McKinnon or even like a Kristen Wiig. I think I would be way. I'd be like, oh, this is gonna be fucking awesome. I don't know why. I don't know if it's because I think we're gonna break into characters in the middle of it. I don't know if it's gonna be some
That's
kind of
funny.
Weird. You know what I mean? Like,
you know, I don't. I'm not.
Mrs. Denver, these fuckers with their perfect life. Mrs. Denver Drew just says, Denver Drew is hilarious. Oh my gosh. So
the
bad.
The hate continues.
I want to be them so bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't. first of all, I seriously doubt. I've come. I think you're all talk at this point. After
Me?
After our truth or truth that we did with you and you and your wife. And by the way, I went back and listened to that again. The only drink you had was one I forced you to have. So,
Right.
I mean, eventually you had to drink the one.
Have
you
I
poured.
Argued this? Or you're,
no, no,
you're really
no.
coming at me?
No, I was giving,
like,
I was giving you.
Just so you know, what you said you did is what you did. I went to the tape. You can't handle the tape.
No, no, no.
Easy, Jack Nicholson.
I gave you credit on the air for having had a shot, and then I realized subsequently I had forced you to have that shot.
I drank a shot, though.
Yeah, no, no, I understand.
Okay.
In any case, but it was a shot consumed on a technicality is what I
see.
In any case, don't know what I'm saying. Completely gone. Wait a minute.
Is it only when we do the show, or is this what it's like to talk to me on a regular basis?
This is what it's like to talk to me on a regular basis. No, no, no. Here we go. This is what I was saying, is that you, on that, you convinced me that you're not going to swing, and you're not going to two-time, and you're not going to any of this stuff. So when you talk about, hey, put me in a room with Kristen Wiig, ain't nothing going to happen. It's all talk.
Right. Yeah. Well, no, of course not.
It's all funny talk.
But here's my point is that what I'm trying to say is, like, you've seen my wife on the show. She's fucking hilarious. So
she's funny.
She is my Kate McKinnon, but it is not as interesting a conversation for me to sit here for hours on time talking about my desires.
Yes.
desire to bang my wife. Right. Every guy listening also agrees with his desire to bang his wife. Okay. All of us would love nothing more than to bang our wives. But, for the sake of conversation, I don't know why.
I understand.
It's fun to talk about. It's the convention to talk about other women as if out of respect to these women. I don't love Kate McKinnon.
Right.
You know what I mean? I just want to use her as a penis cozy.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? I would like for her to straddle me and do that Ginsburg dance she does when she goes on the Weekend Update. That would be fun. God.
Yes, you're very funny. And
I would like to know what it's like to bang a female Justin Bieber. These are only funny if you watch Saturday Night Live.
I don't happen to feel the same way you do. I don't.
You do not want a woman with a sense of humor.
I just don't care.
You don't care if she has a sense of humor?
Listen, are we talking about marrying them or sleeping with them?
I don't care. Well, we can talk about both.
If we're talking about sleeping with them, then I don't care.
You don't care. You just want them to be a woman.
I just want them to be willing.
And a pulse.
And available.
And available.
Yes.
And a pulse.
Listen, I can negotiate on the pulse.
Okay. So that it depends. As long as a body temp. Fair to say?
Right, yeah.
So at least above, I'm going to give you, what is standard body temp, 98.6? So yes. I'm going to give you 94 degrees and up.
Yeah.
You go 92?
I was even going to go to...
This is interesting. Remember What's Her Bucket sent in the Indecent Proposal about money?
Yes.
I like the word, but we're going temp.
Now it's...
How cold would the body be
before
I would have to be like, eh? Because here's the thing. The reality of me getting a Charlotte McKinney or Kate Upton, she would have to probably be 89 degrees at that point.
Yes, exactly.
I don't even think her dead 92-degree corpse would allow me entrance.
I don't think
entrance.
So. I think
there would be some kind of alarm that would go off. Her breasts would set in a form of rigor mortis. And, like a white blood cell version for her dignity would just start punching at me to get me away from her.
To prevent you from... From going any further.
Yeah.
So as far as just a one-off or, twice.
Yeah.
A long afternoon, whatever.
I
don't care about the sense of humor.
Delight.
I don't care if we even speak the same language. It doesn't matter.
A woman walks up to you and Ralph's over here and says, yes.
Rocks
and
off.
And you're like, let's do it.
You're
shaking a minivan in a grocery store parking lot.
All right. For the sake of the conversation, the answer is yes.
Okay.
But. In the cold light of day, terrified.
But still, yes.
Yeah, but still, yes. God, I'm glad I told her not to listen to this one.
Butcher Drew says, my dad owned a funeral home for my whole life. He says, I'm out of this conversation.
Oh, yeah, right. And that's what he was eventually arrested for.
Exactly. Yeah.
Father Drew, whatever his
name. Oh, good times. All right. Let's see. This is what are we shifting gears?
But
to?
If I were in the game, I would get that article laminated and bring it with me to the.
I would. I'll print it out for you.
To the meat markets. Yeah. It won't be too long.
Most of these articles were chosen because I thought my parents left today, and I thought my parents would still be here, and I was hoping that Natalie would be on the show, and I would like to rub her nose in all of, the funny guys, see how great your sex life is?
Yeah,
in case you haven't realized it yourself.
Right.
I mean, I know she knows, but, it's always good to validate.
But particularly when she's on the eve of Ashley Madison, you want to get her to reconsider.
I want to make sure that she understands, highly unlikely you're going to find somebody funnier, I mean, who knows all your right spots. I'm just saying. But while we're in this wonderful realm, this comes to us from our dearest Rachel Gibbs. She posted this. I happened upon it on her Facebook that she shared it with friends of hers. And so I reshared it on our Facebook page. And since we have so many more listeners than Facebook viewers, I guess.
Right.
I thought this would be fun. It says 10 reasons to make masturbation part of your wellness routine. Now, this is not just for dudes.
Okay.
This is also for the ladies. And I like everything about this list. Number one, you'll get a healthy dose of dopamine, endorphins, and oxytocin. I'm sorry, I said that wrong.
Yeah.
According to the 2009 University of Michigan study, orgasms cause the body to release dopamine, endorphins, and oxytocin, the love and bonding hormone. The boost of these hormones in turn lowers cortisol, a main stress hormone. Chronically elevated cortisol levels lead to inflammation, stress eating, insomnia, and weight loss resistance. This means your pleasure-powered workouts will more easily lead to a toned body.
Wow.
So that's how I'm going to elevate my heart rate is right now. Number two, you won't get as many junk food cravings. This one I found really interesting, and I look forward to making myself a guinea pig in said matter.
Yeah.
Higher levels of oxytocin makes us feel happier, which keeps those emotionally triggered food cravings for sugars, cheese, and other comfort foods at bay. Oxytocin levels are usually increased simply through the physical stimulation of the clitoris, vagina, cervix, and breasts. They don't even mention the penis. I think we're out, guys. I don't think we have any better. This is just for chicks. Yeah. So even if you don't reach... Oh, here's the thing. That's a good point. I just now am realizing this. I did read this earlier, but I missed this entirely. Is that here's what it is. You don't have to write an article of 10 reasons for men to masturbate.
To make it a regular part of their routine. Yeah.
Exactly. You would think that there would be much more thin men out there, but maybe because of our sex drive, you just have to double down, fellas.
Yeah, no. Think about how much worse they'd be if they weren't constantly masturbating.
Well, and that's I think of it just like, you know, for instance.
Man, I mean.
A guy who runs marathons, okay, his heart rate is naturally lower.
Yeah.
Okay. It's going to take a while for him. Like if he and I just start jogging down the block, halfway down the block, I'm going to be panting heavily. I'm going to start sweating.
Yeah.
Very similar to my masturbation.
Yes. And
for him, though, it takes a lot longer for him to get that heart rate up.
Yeah.
So here's what I'm saying. I'm saying for guys, it's different than girls probably.
Yeah.
So whatever you're doing now, fellas, just multiply it times 3 or times 10. I don't know what your number is.
Right.
And then maybe that you'll start to see these
Plus
kinds of results.
Plus long distance runner is going to have to rub it out
three
or four times in one sitting in order to get the same kind
of
workout.
Well, and he's got all those Band-Aids he puts on his palms so that he doesn't have any chafing, you know, like what they do for the nipples. All he's jerking with is nipple cream too, I imagine. it is for men. 3, for men, frequent masturbation improves sperm quality. Why? There is less DNA damage and motility problems with fresh sperm.
Ooh.
4, pleasure is physiologically relaxing, which has a positive effect on the microbiome.
Yeah. I'm thinking of getting a tattoo on my my dong that says guaranteed fresh.
Guaranteed fresh.
Yeah.
Natural.
Yeah.
Organic. Hormone free.
Farm raised, yeah.
You're going to need a lot of tattoos.
Cage free. Yeah.
Free range cock. The gut, the gut and the mind are inextricably linked. In my book, Women, Food, and Desire, I tell the story of a client who wasn't dating and wasn't masturbating. She had been suffering from bloating, gas, and a frustrating muffin top that wouldn't budge for years.
And she wasn't dating?
No.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
I took her
what
to
a catch.
I took her to Babeland, a clean, well-lit sex store, and we spoke with a knowledgeable staff member who helped her pick out her first non-toxic vibrator. Now, here's something for the moms that listen to this. Listen to this show. Is I just love that visual of walking into the pleasure chest is a local place here in LA, and you know, seeing the multiple piercings, you know, late teens, early 20s, you know, goth chick who works at the back counter is what I think we all imagine. But imagine it's more like a Honda Helper in a light baby blue polo or something like that. And what kind of dildo can I put you in today? You want you're gonna be scissoring then, or is it all right? So it's just for self masturbation, got it.
Right,
all right, would you like to be motorized? Do you like oscillating? Do you want something like a random orbital sander? Do you want up and down motions? Do you need a remote? Are you say corded is okay? All right, like just all right. Well, let me listen. I talked to my manager. He says that if you could come up to $30 down, I think I could get you in there. We can make it happen today.
Yes.
And guess what? We're going to give you the etched windows. You're welcome.
The undercoating.
Yes. She says, after a couple weeks of self-exploration and regular self-pleasure, she noticed a marked difference in her digestion and her bloating had reduced greatly. Let's see. Women who masturbate regularly are more likely to feel positively about their body. So, fellas, here's what we're learning. To keep them from cheating on you, just have them masturbate furiously right after they take a nap on Mother's Day. Because then you prepare a meal for them and you let them sleep and masturbate furiously, and it's going to be on like Donkey Kong. This unsurprisingly leads to higher confidence and a positive upward spiral of self-care. When you know what you need to bring yourself pleasure and orgasm, you strengthen your emotional intelligence and connection to your body. Knowing how your body works and what you're capable, regardless of your relationship status, helps you make better decisions and stronger boundaries about dating and mating. When you can bring yourself physical pleasure, you don't need someone else to validate that you're sexy. You know it.
Mm.
Daydreaming kicks life up a notch. Another study reveals that sexy daydreams release testosterone in women, which means that when you read erotic fiction or watch any kind of porn that excites you, your body will begin anticipating encounter, which naturally raises your libido and quite literally gets your juices flowing. What is that emoticon that Nikki just put in the chat room? Is that a vagina? Or is it just because of the context of what I'm reading? Look at that symbol and tell me that.
I don't know what that is.
That is like an X inside a box, which is what I would like to have. You will feel less pain, really. Orgasms and, to a lesser extent, simple sexual arousal increase blood flow to both your brain and reproductive organs, which helps soothe menstrual cramps and headaches. 8, sexual pleasure brings you in the present moment. Sexual pleasure is a great way to clear your mind of ruminating and excess anxiety. It brings you to the present moment, kind of like meditating. But if sitting on a meditation cushion isn't doing it for you, grab your bottle of lube. The physical release doubles as stress relief. It can be a great way to get in touch with your body and out of your head. Being in the moment and focusing on what feels physically good to you is a wonderful, intentional practice with many benefits. You might actually want to have Luna tune in for this. You can keep your sex life alive and kicking no matter what. Especially if you're single or in a long-distance relationship, masturbation is a great way to help your sexual energy stay alive. Self-stimulating keeps your reproductive tissues flexible, strong, and healthy. The more solo sex you have, the more you'll want, because your brain is thinking about sex more often. This is really helpful for couples who are separated or the single person who wants to present the best version of themselves while dating. And 10, it feels awesome. And all we need, and we all need more pleasure in our lives. Am I right?
Yes.
See? So
I'm not going to argue with that.
That was it. Well, it was funny because some people were commenting on the Facebook page about it, and that's what kind of Rachel was saying. She's like, "Listen, it's true. I'm just like she did the. I'm just saying." Like,
right.
All right. So we'll wrap up with this. Is this we teased it last week? I don't know how long this is going to take. Yes, go ahead.
We were talking about funny women, attractive funny women.
Yes,
Rachel Gibbs herself. I was in love with her
right.
on our interviews. She's funny. She's got a foul mouth. She's got a great mind. She's very smart. Heartbroken about her having a man.
You were much like Kate McKinnon preferring the ladies for me. Yeah. I see. Yeah.
I could. It was all I could do not to throttle him.
And it would be
here.
Nice if he was a douche. You know what I mean?
Oh,
I feel like,
better.
Yeah, if he wasn't a dick who was like joking around with us reading Playboy magazine and stuff, which, by the way, we have to do that. He found some fun things about Playboy magazine. And that just reminded me of it. So I teased this last week and I wanted Natalie to be here when I did this, but somebody's got to take care of the kids. You know how it is. This is somebody sent this to me, and I'm sorry that I didn't write it down to see who. I apologize. But this is a guy, a father of 2 elementary-aged children, proved to be the real MVP when he replied to a letter from his children's school that said they were not accepting a family trip to Boston as an excusable absence. Let's see if I can zoom in on the letter here. I tried this earlier, and it worked. But now, of course, it is not. Oh, there we go. That'll work. Here's what it says. Dear Mr. and Mrs. Rossi, I understand that your family recently took a family vacation. I want you to be aware that the Abington School District does not recognize family trips as an excused absence, regardless of the activities involved in the trip. The school district is not in the position of overseeing family vacations or evaluating the educational nature of a family trip. But evidently you are in the in the position to be douchey and a Douchosaurus Rex.
Yes.
The dates that your children were absent were recorded as unexcused. And as I said before, it's like, how do you think this is going to go? You know what I mean? Like the people who take their kids across the country or wherever it was, if they're going to take their kids on a trip, probably not the ones who are going to care if the kid gets an unexcused absence. Are you aware of any kind of permanent ramifications of having unexcused absences on your record?
No, not really. I mean, in life, I've never applied for a job where they went, you know what, though?
Yeah.
There was that time in seventh grade.
I'm sorry. Did you take a family trip to Boston that was unexcused?
Even have all that detail in it. It would just be unexcused.
Yeah, exactly. But that's what I mean. It's it's so sad. So here's the thing. Like, if I'm Rochelle S. Marbury, who is the principal of said Abington School District school.
Yeah.
I just feel like I would let that go. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I worry that she is stupid to the point that she thinks that, here's what I'm going to do. Like, what if she thinks that's the haymaker? I'm going to hit him with unexcused absences. You know, and I've had conversations with the secretaries here at the school. You know what I mean? Like, here's what's happened. I've gone in and bust chops enough that now they've loosened up. Some of them have cursed in front of me already. And you can tell that they're on their way out the door. They retire at the end of this year because they're like, fuck it. They do it. Yeah. They whisper and do the
senioritis.
Fuck it. Like that.
Yeah. But actual seniors.
No, yes, they are literally seniors. Proud caring. something card, ARP card. Yeah.
Fuck you.
So anyway, I just imagine all the secretaries and everybody around this principal going, oh, yeah, my God, just let it go. Nobody fucking cares. An accumulation of oh, here's where she says this is the ramification. An accumulation of unexcused absences can result in a referral to our attendance officer and a subsequent notice of a violation of the compulsory school attendance law. So here's what I think, that when people use a lot of big fucking words like this, they're trying to cover a lot of shit up. Like, here's, I've set you up with this thing where there is no consequence. And now to make you fearful of a possible consequence, I will use very large, large words that essentially are saying that nobody gives a shit. And it's that thing. It's like, it's what was it that Robin Williams had an old joke I used to watch at the Met when I was a kid. And he would say that in England, in England, the cops are very different. They don't have guns, so they go, stop, or I'll say stop again. Like, and it's, to that's me, good. That's what this feels like. It feels like that, you know, hey, if you continue to get unexcused absences, then I'm going to report you, and you can't have unexcused absences.
Right.
So here's the fantastic letter, which was just a huge fuck you to the principal, which is very well put. It says, dear Madam Principal, while I appreciate your concern for our children's education, I can promise you they learned as much in the 5 days we were in Boston as they would in an entire year in school. Fuck you, number one.
Right.
Our children had a once-in-a-lifetime experience, one that can't be duplicated in a classroom or read in a book. In the 3 days of school they missed, which consisted of standardized testing that they could have taken any time, they learned about dedication, commitment, love, perseverance, overcoming adversity, civic pride, patriotism, American history, culinary arts, and physical education. You had your hand up.
If that was the standardized testing, which is the one where where they take it for the state so that the school, then fuck you up and down. Oh my God,
that's all they worried about.
That's all they worried about. And I tell you what else.
That's what dictates their money.
I'll tell you what else. That parent that kid was one of the winners. That kid was a ringer for that principal.
Yep.
And losing that bright child for 3 days during that testing was a hot poker up her ass.
Yeah.
And the other thing I wanted to say about her, as long as I'm interrupting you anyway, the principal, is that some people they have this tiny little fiefdom that is ultimately meaningless, but they have power within that world, and then they beat everybody up with their meaningless power.
Yeah.
And I think that's as much that as any other.
It's true. And that's all she's doing.
I love that response.
And this is fuck you number two, which I think he's kind of playing her jargon thing. She goes, they watched their father overcome injury, bad weather, and this is where it gets real. And this is like so he's got the knife in, and this is where he twists it on this bitch.
Yeah.
So bad weather, the death of a loved one, and many other obstacles to achieve an important personal goal. They also experience firsthand the love and support of thousands of others cheering on people with a common goal. At the marathon, they watch blind runners with prosthetic limbs and debilitating diseases, and people running to raise money for great causes run in the most prestigious and historic marathon in the world.
Yeah.
They also pay tribute to the victims of a senseless act of terrorism and learn that no matter what evil may occur, terrorists cannot deter the American spirit. These are things they won't ever truly learn in the classroom. In addition, our children walked the Freedom Trail, visited the site of the Boston Tea Party, the Boston Massacre, and the graves of several signers of the Declaration of Independence. There are things they will learn in school a year or more from now, so in actuality, our children are ahead of the game. They also visited an aquarium, sampled great cuisine, and spent many hours of physical activity walking and swimming. We appreciate the efforts of the wonderful teachers and staff and cherish the education they are receiving at Rydell Elementary School. We truly love our school, but I wouldn't hesitate to pull them out of school again for an experience like the one they had this past week. Thank you for your time. Sincerely, Michael Rossi. And then this is the final fuck you, father. Because she put principal underneath her name.
That's awesome. That guy is my new fucking hero.
Isn't that great?
Absolutely. And there's a beat there he missed, which he doesn't need because it was beautiful. But yeah. Which is that when they do get to those subjects in school a little later, their personal hands-on experience, I don't know how much he might be shining this up, but will bring those will bring that to life for them. But also, it's relatable so that even though they may not have visited the graves of these other people, they can remember having done that, and the way that informs whatever period of history they're studying there, that may also inform other periods of history and make those other things more real and alive to them. Mm-hmm. One of the problems with a lot of people, I think, with history, some people hear it and it comes to life in their minds and it lives within them. And a lot of people, it's just death.
Yeah.
It's just, you know.
Well, it is a story to a certain extent. And how great is it that they were actually at the locations of some of these events that they'll be learning
about?
That's
fantastic.
Yeah. It's real. I've always, even as a kid, I always got into like, you just smell things. Like, I don't know. The few times I've been to New England and you kind of walk around historic districts on the East Coast is that you kind of look at it and go, there was a nation that was built by people walking. And that sounds really dramatic and, you know, over the top, but it's honestly how I felt. And so, I just hate it. I hate this whole emphasis on education, that it's going to solve all your fucking problems and everything. You know what I mean? Like what you do in a fucking school is so insignificant to me, in all honesty, that's why I feel so comfortable when my son came home one day and he was like, I don't know if I've told this, but he said, Dad, there's something that happened at school today, but I don't want to tell you. And I was are you afraid I'm going to get angry? He goes, no. And I said, well, then why wouldn't you tell me? He's like, well, it's just I don't want to tell you. And I said, well, here's the problem, son. You have to be able to tell me everything.
Right.
So I said, if it is that you're worried I'm going to get angry or I'm going to yell or I'm going to take something away or something like that, I will promise you. I will not do that. All you have to do is say, Dad, I something happened, and I don't want you to get angry, but I need to tell you. I said, and that will give you carte blanche. Get out of jail free card.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay. And then he said, I had to turn my light red today, which is like the final step in the discipline thing at the kindergarten.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, son, I can give a shit about that.
Oh, my God. That poor kid.
But seriously, this is my point. Is that they make this big hullabaloo. I got in an argument. This is where I'm going to get weirdly political, and I'm sorry. But that I got in this argument a long time ago with a couple of people who were saying that, you know, I was talking about how I love my life and that talking about how I love this country because it gives me the ability, it affords me the ability to pursue my passions, pursue my dreams, you know, kind of a thing. And it sounds very like, you know, again, douchey and dramatic, but I really do believe it.
Yeah.
And they said, well, this thing, you're able to do that because of the fantastic state-provided public education. And I go, oh, fuck you. I said that in the chorals, actually, right over here, very loud. A lot of people turned. I said, fuck you about the education I received. Now, because here's the thing. I'm not saying that the entire public education system is bullshit. I'm not saying all of it. But to say that it isn't even – that it is a 60-40 split and nothing more than that, I think that's more realistic. I mean, in reality, I had four solid teachers the entire time I was in school.
Yeah.
And that's when you get into like junior high and high school where they bump you up to five or six teachers in a fucking day.
Yeah.
And so I'm not saying, though, that you should tell all these kids – Paco's getting mail. She was so serious.
She was so mad at me when I wrote to her.
Well, why? Adam, he texted his wife. Okay, you gotta block Ashley Madison from your computers at home. You understand me?
All right, I will.
You texted your wife to have her bring your AARP card. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't believe you.
Right,
like,
no, no, no. But it's got balloons on it. It's a happy thing.
Yes, it is. It is a happy thing. Here's the thing.
It's she was good. In bed, by the way.
I mean, oh, God damn it, Adam. Oh, my God. You are, listen, I'm going to tell you, here's what you have to do.
Yeah.
With your tongue hanging out of your mouth on the way home, you have to do nothing but go, E-I-O, you go, me, my, mo, mo, moo, me, my, mo, mo, moo. You have to do that.
Okay.
The entire way. I would even maybe take an extra lap around the block.
Yes.
Because you are going to have to munch so much carpet. To make up for what you just did. If she was in bed.
Yes.
Because I saw the look. Your wife is a very delightful woman. Yes. A very pleasant woman. It is. We have a movie-esque neighborhood where we see each other in the neighborhood. We're like, hey, neighbor!
Right, right.
You know, we're
Bedford
yelling.
Falls. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
We're all yelling at each other going, ah!
Merry Christmas, Bedford.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The kids are going, hi, Dory! You know, they're all yelling.
Yeah.
She walked in here with dead as ice. with a stoic robotic face, yes, yes, handed you your letter and immediately turned out. Didn't give me a tip of the cap.
And then when you couldn't see her, she gave me such a look.
She did? She shot you the eyes? Yeah. Oh, my God.
She gave me the hairy eyeball.
Well, here's what we all know. You listen, talk about hairy eyeball. You're going to, listen, you are going to be cave diving. You are going to be a professional vaginal spelunker. I'm going to say you start early so that you can get enough work in your bank account.
Right.
Because you're going to be in a huge vaginal timeout after all that. But here's, I don't know. I think I said everything that I need to say because it's all horseshit.
I did interrupt you. But
it's totally fine.
So you were talking and it sparked a couple of things in my head. One is mildly amusing. The other one isn't. The first one is we had my folks put together a family reunion type thing back east. This is a couple of years ago, Christmas time. The boys had never seen snow, so we thought, oh, this will be great. This is going to be in West Virginia where Juan is from. And just a fantastic hotel. It's just something I could never have been involved in if it was just up to me. Just amazing. And then no one in the family except us went. So all the people who see each other every week here in Burbank anyway
just took a flight
across the country to meet each other over there and do this thing. And it was at a place called the Greenbrier in West Virginia. And this is a 200-year-old, you know, hotel. Fantastic, amazing, you know, huge, whatever it is. And it was the site where they built underground bunkers for because of its proximity to Washington for heads of state to hide here during times of whatever.
Wow.
It's got it was the,
I love,
you know,
all
the
that
East
stuff.
Coast type destination of kings and princes and so on and so forth. It was just one of these. Now, of course, it's a dump that I can get into. But in any case, it had this incredibly,
you stayed in the bunker?
Yeah, it had this incredibly rich history and roll, just beautiful rolling grounds. And the whole time I was with there, I could feel all that history. It was really strange. I've never felt so connected to anything before, to the point at which I took some sort of a sauna thing where I was in a tub and I literally could hear voices in there. I mean, I could hear voices.
All right, now you lost me.
It was very strange.
No,
that's okay. And then flash forward, I was working on the Warner lot as a temp or whatever, and I was in one of the little golf carts driving across the lot. And I've been on, you know, various lots at various times for various reasons.
No
big deal. But for some reason, driving in the golf cart, which I had never done before, I suddenly had that same sense of connectedness to all of the other
film history.
Not quite as big and grand and impacting as perhaps royalty and presidents.
No one listening to this does not want to see that daydream in a short. You know what I mean? Where it's like you're just sitting there in a golf cart, you know,
and
for the sake of the humor of it, you're just fetching someone's coffee for them. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I don't know what your exit, but you're there and you're driving, and then all of a sudden it's like, and you're like, Charlie Chaplin's waving at you. Betty Davis gives you a little flashes a little boob to you.
The truth of it was, I went around a corner, I got to a dead end, and I had to basically make a 3-point turn that had about 72 points in it in a golf cart that went.
John Wayne comes out. You can't come this way, partner.
Every time I backed up, you know, made a horrible noise.
20 yards away, they're trying to shoot a Mentos commercial.
Exactly. Like,
what is that beeping? Can someone shut that beeping up? Jesus Christ.
I felt like such a pussy. I was just ready to leave the thing there and go, that's it. I'll just tell them that lost it.
It's so great because especially on some place like a soundstage where you want quiet. You don't want the random beeping.
Right.
And how many deaths? I mean, total. How many deaths have happened from, you show up to meet Peter. It's St. Peter's at the gates. My son, what happened? Run over. Golf cart. Really? Forward? You were like Lake Havasu screwing around with your butt? No. Somebody backed up. I didn't hear it and dead.
Right.
Just got me, you know, just killed me straight flat.
Yeah.
At worst, you have a scuffed knee.
But we got to whoop, whoop.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It can be heard from, 3 miles away.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the same thing like everybody complains about the garbage trucks that they do. They have to beep and make all that noise when it's like, nobody's up at 5 a.m. when you're getting the trash,
and
assholes.
And they go 1 mile an hour.
Yeah. And you're fucking the size of a bus. If you can't, there are people we can weed out.
Yes, you know exactly. I mean? If you can't see that thing coming.
Right, exactly.
It's on you.
All right, let's do a little moment of the week and wrap this bitch up.
All right.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the Week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
Well, I was listening to that, the fantastic, I don't know who we get to voice these things.
I don't know.
It's but really it's great. Just an amazing voice. And I was reading through the chat room. Yeah. And I want to say that I really am happy that, I mean, what, we had 10, 12 people. There's 8 in there listening. But they're all having a good chat with each other and making buddies. I like the idea that they're going to Tennessee. If that, I don't even know if that really happens. But I want it to happen. And I think it's very cool that, you know, that I don't know. Now I'm being douchey. But
well, no,
one of my favorite it's just here's the thing. I don't honestly say and go, it sounds like what I'm saying is like, look at what I've done. All of this is mine. That's not my point. My point is that this started as a thing that I would do just to fuck around and make fun of my life, and just the idea that people are meeting people and having friends and conversations.
It's very cool.
And the other aspect of it is that there is a sense of, you know, this is a group of people that you know you can say whatever the hell you're thinking.
Yes.
And there's not, you're not going to have to worry about, you know, yeah, sometimes I want to slap the shit out of my kid and nobody's going to be like, oh, whoa. No,
that's very cool. Yeah.
Which I'll talk about on Tuesday.
And all you had to do to get that was to risk, you know, the child services ever hearing this.
Exactly. Listen, I've had people, I told you that story. Somebody came, a child protective services officer came and saw me at the, at Flappers, saw me do my comedy show.
Right.
And then she said, she goes, you know, there were a couple of times during that show that I was like, you know, I think I'm going to have to call someone.
Right.
I laughed and she did not.
She did not. That's
so
funny.
I immediately said, well, she goes, no, I'm serious. And I go, oh, well, then you're going to love this part that I didn't say tonight. And I told her about why I understand babies get left by dumpsters.
Oh my God.
She got uncomfortable.
I bet she did. That's your specialty.
No, fuck you, bitch, for trying to make me feel uncomfortable. Fucking comedy show. Go fuck yourself. Moment of the week, everybody.
Yeah. Somebody was saying on online today that, you know, I was saying, no, it wasn't somebody, it was me. They were going, oh, look, promposals kind of a thing. And I'm like, well, Diego got off easy because he was invited, but next year he's going to have to come up with something. Maybe he should just have Justin go and do the, you know.
I got it.
Yeah.
I got his back.
Is there, what more horrible idea could there be?
Well, and the other thing that's funny, and I don't know if she's talking to her husband, but Ashley gets in and goes, hey, Justin, baby. Like, I don't even know what that means. I don't know if I'm doing something inappropriate by making it sound like, hey, Justin, baby.
Right.
But let me just say, I'm not above with the mom's flirting with me on this show. I think it's convenient for her because her husband's name's also Justin.
That's true.
So I think I'm helping him get laid even more. Right. I am, in a sense, liberating his liberator.
I'll tell you something else.
Yeah.
When she cries out your name while
it's
they make
totally
love,
fine.
He doesn't even notice.
Now you made it weird for me now.
Oh my God. Today I am a man.
That's not even going to happen, but I'm just like, oh, I like these people a lot, is my point. So here's my, oh, you go first. I'm sorry.
Sure. Sure. I have to remember what I was going to say. Oh, I know. I'll do it quick because I don't want to take up too much time because it's Moment of the Week. But I did that, I did the half marathon hike with Diego.
This is where you went around the like ridge of the mountains out here in the San Fernando Valley.
Yes, there's a range called the Verdugo Mountains, and we started on one end and went across the ridge, essentially, to the other side. It took us long enough for me to be embarrassed about the amount of time it took, but it was 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't breaking any land speed records. We were stopping every now and
again.
That
wasn't the objective,
no,
was it?
No, not really, but... Yeah. So that was a really special time and thing. It was something I'd originally was going to do alone, and then it occurred to me he might be willing or interested in coming along, and he was. And it was challenging. It was all sorts of other things, and got to see a lot of beautiful, you know, scenery and whatnot. And coming down the far side, the downward trudge was – that was a will breaker. It's just much harder on my knees and feet than I thought it would be. And we got kind of lost because you don't have the GPS up there the way I thought you would. And I sort of looked at the map and I go, oh, okay, I get how all these things are connected. But then when you're standing there looking at it, it doesn't always look exactly the same. So we didn't come down where we thought we were going to come down. We had to send for Luna to come find us in a much more inconvenient place than we all thought it was going to be. But
did you get a look similar to that AARP card?
Yeah, not quite a bit like that. now you got me worried about what's waiting for me when I get home.
It should be, I'm telling you. Me, my, mo, mo, mo.
But here's the thing.
Only because it's super hilarious. I just now saw that Ashley's husband is in the chat room, so she was totally talking to him. Oh.
I'm such a jackass. You are. That's awesome.
Best listeners ever. That was a great moment for even me. That was great.
So as we came down the hill and we got near the, you know, near the end of my Fitbit vibrated to indicate that I had reached the distance.
Oh,
I had actually made it. And
did you just stop? Yeah, <right.
laughs> I laid down in
Luna,
the dirt.
Come to me.
Come find me here.
Come here. I need you.
And I reached out. I took him by the arm and I just said, hey, you know, we just did it. And I told him how much it meant for me to have him there and how proud I was that I did it and that he was there to share it with me. And I got a little choked up there. And that was it right there, was the moment for me.
Cool.
It was really cool sharing that with him.
Mine happened actually just hours before this show. We've had, you know, Grandpa and Vava have here. And it's, you know,
and
it's been
here,
lots of fun.
And here and here.
Yeah, exactly. And they, so it's been, you know, lots of time with them. And it's a weird thing where, you know, I usually take that time to get some work done if I can. And so I'm not as involved with the kids when they're here. And it doesn't bother my parents. And the kids don't even notice. But today I went to pick them up from school for the first time. And Jack was excited to go out to the addition to see Vava and Grandpa. And I had to remind him that they were gone. And so he was like, oh. And I go, well, do you guys want to watch The Flash? And it's really weird. But we have like drizzling rain. And it's been weirdly cold for, you know, the almost middle of May, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
It was colder today than it was in winter. I honestly believe that.
I think so, too.
And, we kind of huddled up on the couch and just cuddled and literally binge-watched the 2 weeks of The Flash episodes
We
had missed.
Oh, cool, cool.
And it was so fun because I had seen the first episode, so I watched that with them, and then now we're on to the new one. And for anybody who's watching the series, spoiler alerts, but General Grodd shows up. And are you familiar with General Grodd? He's the big gorilla. He's the big gorilla in the DC, villain in the DC universe. He has psychic powers. And it was great because we're watching that, and I'm into it. You know what I mean?
Is he the guy from the second Superman movie?
That's General Zod. Rhymes. But so that's true. But so anyway, we're sitting there and he and Jacob and Jack are really, Jacob especially, he's like, and there's a fight between the Flash and General Grodd. Or now you got me going.
No, you said Grodd. It right.
So anyway, so there's a fight between Grodd and the Flash, and Jacob's like, ooh, like he's like, and I've never seen him react to it. Kids watch horror movies with me, wasn't like, but he's like, oh, what's
going
to happen?
Cool. That's
and
so
I was
cool.
kind of watching because I'm like, is he really getting like scared? Because I want, but no, he was just invested in it, and he's like, oh, is he going to get him, Dad? And it was cool, and we were having fun, and it was very rarely at this age, I think, do we get to watch a show that we equally enjoy as much. So I cherish that awesome. Moment truly. But that was a lot of fun. So, here's the thing. Before I forget, Butcher Drew left us another voicemail. And the reason I did not discuss it earlier is because I would like to save this. Two things I would like to tell the people listening to the show. If you would like to tune in live and chat with other listeners during the show, the next time we will record will be Tuesday morning, I'm sorry, at 10 a.m. We usually record Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific and Fridays at 7 p.m. Pacific. I try to put up on Facebook if we have to change the schedule or anything like that. With this new part-time producer job, I'm kind of on call for the local radio station here, but it looks like primarily they want me to work on weekends initially.
So
that'll work out. But I wanted you guys to have the opportunity. You can go to mixlr.com/dadpodcast. And the link for that is in the description of this episode. But Butcher Drew had an idea. He was listening to Justin. Well, he'll tell you. Here's the thing that he thought.
Yeah, and it's Butcher Drew. Just listened to this episode of Justin's Married, Booker's Single. And you brought up a good topic there in the first 2 minutes about stuff you find in the washer with kids. Although my story is, of course, about myself, as most stories are. My father-in-law likes to do my laundry because he thinks it makes his house look dirty that clothes are in the laundry basket. And he found a nice little surprise in my work pants without emptying my pockets. I had a packed full of chewing gum, which he then washed and dried. Now there's chewing gum over everyone in the house's clothes. Not just mine. Of course, that's the way it works.
Rookie mistake.
Just thought that'd be a great topic for the Dan podcast as well. Have a good one, man. Hope you and the kids and Ellen and everybody's doing good. Let it.
So I know that he's telling a story, if you're not familiar, that the poor butcher Drew is in some level of purgatorish hell where he is living with his in-laws while his house is being either renovated or completed or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're waiting for everything to finish. And so his father-in-law decided, well, I'm going to do laundry and screwed everything up. But I do think it is a fun topic. So put it on Facebook or send us an email to showatthedadpodcast.com. If you have a situation where your kid or whatever either ruined laundry or tore up something within the house, I think that would be a fun thing to share if you have something to share on that level. Again, give us a like at facebook.com/dadpodcast. We are on the Twitter at Dad Podcast. I'm at Justin Worsham. Paco's at The Real Paco L. You could see photos for each episode. The good Paco puts a photo up on his Instagram account, which is call_of_Dooley. Also, all of that information is in the description of this episode. Please go check out Justin is Married, Booker is Single on iTunes, and subscribe to that effort because I would like to get some downloads. Hey, and if you don't subscribe to this show via iTunes, it would really do me a solid if you wouldn't mind doing that as well. And I think that's it. So now, Dear Paco is going to tell you about a fantastic banner.
That's right. I want you all to go to Dad Cup Podcast website and scroll down to the bottom of the header. It always, sounds like what's his name. No matter what I do, it sounds like what's his name. Fuck it. You listen, you know what
the
you
incomparable?
Do.
What do you mean, what's his name?
You know, the guy you always say. The British guy. None of this is helping. Oh, my God. Here I have. I have one chance to shine. I have one chance to shine. I screw it up every time. listen, you could go to the Dad Podcast website, and you could buy an ascot or a cravat. Either way, you get there. I'm sorry. You go. Can we start over?
Yeah. Our good friend Paco is going to talk about a banner at Amazon.
Listen, you know what to do. You click through the Dad Podcast website to Amazon, bookmark that, go to the return, do some shopping. It means a lot to us. It doesn't cost you anything. It's the right thing to do. And I am out. Thank you.
Okay. If you would like to replace Paco as our Amazon bag banner plug person.
Oh, sorry, I thought I was going to be
you
out
can send
completely.
In your voiceover via your phone memo. My favorite part is you start it with, you know what to do, so feel free to tune out, right?
That's right. That's right.
You're the best. On behalf of my dear friend Paco Lanzini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley, who you all know will be spending Mother's Day munching on carpet, as I described earlier, this is Justin Worsham saying, stay frosty. Love you guys. You're the best.